like to take this opportunity to welcome you here to our services, especially if you're visiting. We do this once a month. Gives us an opportunity as members here to practice on our songs, but more importantly, for the members here to practice on their preaching and make improvements. And I will say, along I'm sure with most others, that I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of the men here who have taken on more and more responsibility as we've had this program to have our men to speak. Tonight I'd like to talk to you just for a few minutes about the love of God. And we haven't read in our reading about how God's love is for us and how God's love is for mankind. And we cannot fathom the love of God, the way God loves us, and the way that we can try to do the best we can with God's love. What is God's love? It's not something you could touch, not something you could feel. It's a deep, intense feeling of affection. It's a feeling that cannot be felt or touched. The feeling is in the mind of God. Love is an emotion. Love is something that we reach out to understand and to know people. The different kinds of love, that three of these are in our Bible. The love of family. This might be the kind of love that you have for your physical family, your mother, your father, your brothers. It's a special love. It's more than you would have for the most people you come in contact with throughout your course of the day. It's the love of your family, your siblings, your children, your father, your mother. And it's a special love. Then there's the love of friends. This is also this kind of love is in the Bible. It's a love that you have for the ones I just spoke of, your acquaintances, people that you work with, the friends that you associate with, the love that you have that you feel for others. You may feel their pain when they're in sickness and when they're in whatever kind of troubles they're in, that you feel that pain of your not only your friends but your family, and you want to help them because of the love you have toward them. Then there's the intimate love. That's the love that is not spoken of in the Bible, but it's the love that we express, and that's more of a romance type love, a love that you would have for your spouse, for your husband, or for your wife. And that's a special love, that a bond you have that God speaks of in the Bible, how that we have a special bond with our spouse, an intimate love. And then the last is the one that we will spend the rest of the time talking about. It's one that you hear most of the time in the Bible. I guess you pronounce it agape, or I've heard it pronounced agape. But this is the unconditional love that God has for man. And it's a kind of a love that we should aspire to have for in our hearts, for not only God, but for our brethren. In mankind, Paul writes about this love of God in four dimensions. And in our reading, we had that the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. Now, all these are forms of measurement that we have. We can measure you measure breadth, you measure length, you measure height. So there's a measurement factor to this. The first one is the breath of life, and how broad or how wide is the love of God? The love of God embraces the entire world. We have in John 3:16. A passage that we're all familiar with, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So he gave us Jesus. That's the kind of love that he had for us, and we'll speak more about that in these other types of love. But how many of us have that kind of love for each other, that we would give our son so that he might save us and save our sins? every race. God doesn't discriminate. In Matthew 28:19, it speaks there to the disciples. It says to go make disciples of all nations. We're very familiar with that passage, that the Great Commission, some of it call it, that you go out, and you go out to all the nations, go out through all the world, and you spread that love, you spread the gospel. In Christ, there is no discrimination, no distinction in the benefits of God's love. In Galatians 3:28, it talks about neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, all are one in Christ. And aren't you glad that it's that way, that there's no discrimination? You know, in the world that we have, with even ourselves, you know, there's sometimes we discriminate on who we love and how much we love. And some of it, like if you love your family more than you love your acquaintances or maybe even your friends. So some of that's justified. But with God, there's no discrimination, no distinction. All people are loved the same. And our love, man's love, is too narrow. And it only extends so far, but God's love extends to all the boundaries of the earth, to all people, to all nations, with no discrimination, with no distinction. The length of God's love, this is another measurement. How long? Well, love is a part of the nature of God. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love knows not God, because God is love. And so if we can think in those terms, that God is love, God loves us, God gave His Son on the cross for us, therefore we should love God, reciprocate that love toward Him the same way. But not just to Him, but we should show that love to others, to our brethren. It's limitless, it's endless, it can only be measured in eternity. It extends to the eternal past. God's love has been present before the creation of the world. Psalms 91 mentions that, says, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Matthew 25:34, the kingdom was prepared from the beginning of time. So this love has been there from the beginning. The love of God and God's plan for mankind, we had that love from God from the beginning, how He created us, how He brought us up to this point in time. God gave us this, and His love has been there from the very beginning of time. Love is extended to the present. God endures despite our misbehavior. 2 Peter 3:9 says God's patience for our repentance. God makes the sun rise both the good and the evil. He sends a rain on the just and the unjust. Unlike our love, which is conditional many times. But God, you know, the great thing of the love of God, I think Jared even mentioned that today. It's this morning in the sermon that there's some people think they've been so bad they can't, you know, they've been so bad they can't get forgiveness for their sins. And their lives have been so terrible that there's no way that God can forgive them, or that we can forgive them for the terrible sins that they committed. But isn't it such a great thing that, you know, the love of God, because of the love of God, because of His mercy and His grace toward mankind, those can be wiped away. The worst sin, the people that have done the worst things in this life, that can be erased. And thank goodness that God has that in His plan, to know that man was going to be this way and some men be very evil, but God will forgive that sin and forgive those people. The love of God reaches toward the future. In Romans 8:39, nothing now or in the future will separate us from God's love. Also in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. The depth of love. God's love is deep. God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. He downgraded or he degraded the simple and the human race, yet God still loves. Man has sought out many schemes and devices throughout his life, but God, in Ecclesiastes 7:24, still loves us, still offers up his Son as propitiation for our sins, and also will always forgive us in all things that we do. God's divine love reaches the vilest, most evil persons in the world. God's love can be measured in the sacrifice that he made for man. Again, he gave his Son. He gave his Son on the cross so that we might have remission of our sins. The love of God suffers. And I'm sure the love of God suffers a lot for a lot of us. But thankful for God and for his suffering love, that he knew us and that he looked down upon us and that he sent his Son. In Romans 5:8, taking the form of a servant, he humbled himself even to the death on the cross for our sins. So God suffers, and he suffers in his pain and anguish for us and hopes for us that we will repent when we sin. God's love forgives. He forgives the alien, those who have never obeyed the name, and he also forgives the backslider, those who have been saved and those who were baptized but yet have fallen away and we've fallen back to in our old ways. He forgives that. The height of God's love. This is the last one of the four. God's love reaches high in his lofty expectations. Purpose of God's love, he can save man and give him eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:14, 15, that we might no longer live for ourselves, but that we might live for him. And isn't that a wonderful thought that we, as man, as I've talked about earlier, we're caught up in our own selfish desires and our own ways, and we should turn our lives over and we should live for him, not for ourselves, not for our own lives, not for our own interests, but live for God and to do his will. The love of God is for man sometimes hard to comprehend. In Romans 5, 6, and 8, Christ died for the sinners, for the ungodly. And then we won't even sometimes go out of our ways for even our church brethren that we know and that things that we know that we need to do. Yet God goes out of his way and does what is necessary, even for those who are evil and those who are sinning and those who are ungodly. And it's God's hope that because of his love for us that we all might be restored and that we all might be with him in heaven after our life here is over. God's love is extended to man to lift up to heaven and to dwell with him. In Psalms 144, the psalmist says there, what is man that you regard him? God is strong. God is our stronghold. He delivers. He's our deliverer. He's our shield. How is your love? We talked about the height, the breadth, the depth of God's love and what God has done for us and how God has been there from the very beginning of time. And he is there now for us, and he will be there in the future for us. But how are we in our love toward God? Are we there for him like he is for us? This agape love that is talked about in the Bible, that he did what? He gave his Son on the cross. He has suffered for us. We're studying in Isaiah in our Bible class about how the Israelites turned away from God and left God over and over and over, and God was long-suffering. He was patient. He was kind. He was firm, even in his discipline to the Israelites. But he was always there for them when they responded and when they turned back to him. And he's that way for us. God is long-suffering. He is patient. He is kind. And he will be there. He'll be waiting for us. But we've got to make that step. We've got to make the desire. Do we love our brother as much as God has loved us? How did God demonstrate his love? He laid down his life in John 3:16, his son's life. In John 3:12, talks about Cain and Abel there, and how Cain's works were evil. Did Cain have the right and the proper love for his brother? Or was it a selfish love? Or was it a love that he had to make himself better? And in 1 John 4:20, the love of God, how can we continue to love God if we hate our brother? If we say we love God and hate our brother, we're a liar. And the truth's not in us. We love our brother by demonstrating. In James 2:15, it says, take care of his needs. So God took care of our needs. We need to take care of his needs. And his needs are that we show him the proper kind of love and respect, and that we do what? We do his will while we're here on earth. And we continue by obeying God. In Mark 16:15-16 said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So there's two things there. You have to believe, and then you have to be baptized. And if you do that, you come forward and you're baptized, you will be saved. But then you have to take on that love that we've been talking about, the type of love that God has for us, and the kind of God that God suffers for us. And then he will be there for us. But we must be there for those who repent and those who turn back to turn into repentance from their wicked ways. We must be there and have that same kind of love for our brethren as we have for as God has love for us. So this is the lesson. This is what we talked about: four different kinds of love, the amount of love, the depth of the love God has for us, and we have to reciprocate that. We have to love God and do his will. So tonight, as we close, we offer the Lord's invitation for those people who have not had the proper love for God, who have not repented and have not been baptized, or for those who have and have fallen away, the backsliders, can come back and repent of those sins and can be restored back to, again, as we said earlier, to that new condition. Just like the worst of sinner, the worst sins you can imagine, you can be restored back to that pure, unspotted, unblemished self that God talks about in the Bible. So if you're subject in any way to this invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.